Good afternoon. Hi. I'm Mike Duff. I am a contributing editor to Homepage News, the IHA-affiliated website. I'm also your host for the Inspiration Theater. And right now, we have a session where pets are the focal point. They've become a bigger part of people's lives over the past few years. Pete Scott of the American Pet Products Association is here to provide insights about how they're affecting consumers and the marketplace. In this session, Pets at the Heart of the Home, Unpacking Consumer Trends and the Future of Retail, Pete will provide insights on pet ownership trends, consumer behavior, and how pets are impacting the marketplace. Pet owners, particularly highly engaged pet owners, have their own way of incorporating their critter companions into their lives, and that has a significant impact on their lifestyles and how they spend money. So if you would, Pete.
Thanks, Mike. Good afternoon. As Mike said, I'm Pete Scott. I'm the president and CEO of the American Pet Products Association. Since 1958, we've been doing what is now Global Pet Expo and our National Pet Owners Survey. We've been doing that for about 30 years now. And so, be clean, I've got cheat sheet. I've got notes because our pet owner survey and our state of the industry just came out this past week, and try to put a deck together for a different audience and try to figure out what our new data is can be a little bit of a challenge, so please bear with me. So, there we go. This guy here is Tucker. He is what is keeping, he's not happy. I'm here, I should be with him. But any guy in the pet industry has to put a picture's dog up. It's just kind of the roll of the road. Trying to figure where this clue, there we go. So in 2024, the U.S. pet industry grew to $152 billion. There was a 3.4% increase, or about $5 billion from $147 billion in 2023. Most of that was inflation. However, it is about $100 billion more than it was 10 years before that in 2014. What we are projecting now is $157 billion. And we've been pretty spot on. We are within 1 or 2 points from getting that right over the time. And as time has always gone on, we're a dog and cat world. So 71% of U.S. households currently have a pet in the home. 51% have dogs. 37% have cats. After that, it goes into the single digits in terms of freshwater fish, reptiles, small animals, birds, horses, saltwater fish, bunnies, things like that. So it is a dog and cat world. However, for the first time in our survey, we are now seeing cat ownership increase at a higher rate than dog ownership in homes. What we believe is that in a post-COVID world, cats are easier. Cats can stay at home longer. They require fewer vet visits. They don't require boarding, grooming, things like that. So it's easier to have a cat. It's less expensive to have a cat in a time of inflation. And so we are seeing that. We're also seeing something that I'll get to a little bit that's a little interesting, a little funny. But right now in pet influence, 71%, it's 184 million U.S. adults have a household with a pet. Some have multiple pets, but 154 million adults have pets. That equates to $312 billion in U.S. economic impact, up 3%. Again, 3% is probably inflation. So this is where it starts to get interesting, and we're going to get through a lot of data in the first part. Then we're going to get into personas and some storytelling in the second, third parts, which should be a little more interesting. But if you see here, last year, millennials and Gen Z tied boomers and X for pet ownership, 50-50. That number has now changed, and we're now seeing millennials and Gen Z increase slightly, 52%. As boomers predominantly age out of pet owning times, they're just aging out of pet ownership. And Gen X, you can kind of see, is a little stagnant, slightly down, but not really more anomalous down than trend down, but you can see Gen Z really picking up. Now, in and of itself, they're just numbers, they're graphs, they're charts. What we're seeing over the past 10 to 15 years is the realization and the recognition of the human-animal bond. The Human-Animal Bond Research Institute, which we founded, now has a tremendous amount of evidence-based science supporting the human-animal bond. It supports $23 billion of U.S. healthcare savings for U.S. adults, predominantly in cardiovascular, diabetes, obesity, and mental health. So the recognition, mainly because of the science, the promotion, and just the ubiquity of the human-animal bond is picked up to the point that Gen Z are realizing that this is a good thing. So are millennials. We're also starting to see, which will probably self-correct over time, but millennials and Gen Z are having more pets than people. They're having pets before they have kids. Now millennials are starting to pick up as they start to become a little bit older. And you're still seeing boomers still have pets later in life as they become empty nesters. So that companionship, that bond, is very much real, and it is much easier to have a dog or a cat right now, especially if you're single, than having a child. So that is where we are optimistic in the future of pet ownership and the impact of pets, is that, you know, boomers and Gen X didn't really have the human-animal bond to understand, to really fall back on. Now that Gen Z and millennial do, we expect this generation to be the highest generation of pet owners ever. There are two generations, and then that will most likely follow by subsequent generations. But as we end 2024, there are 114 million households buying pet products. This is just pet products, so it does not include veterinary, grooming, boarding services. Just pet products, and they spend about $782 a year. That's up 4.1% over increase in the previous year. Again, much of that is inflation, but if you take that over the span of 10 years, it's a significant increase. Okay. So these are the top trending products for 2025. This is all categories. We will get to specialty housewares and gift in a minute. Smart tech and wearables. This is interactive feeders, luxury fashion pet products. Think of this as nicer bedding, nicer clothes, you know, fashionable clothes, things like that. Pet safe fashion, health and wellness, supplements, dental products, CBD calming products, and holistic grooming. Sustainable and eco, biodegradable products, sustainable toys, and eco-friendly products. Enrichment and mental health, think interactive feeders, sensory play mats, and smart treat dispensers. Most of this stuff is up in the pet pavilion, by the way. Outdoor and travel gear, collapsible bowls, pet backpacks, temperature-regulating clothing, you know, personalized and custom personalized ID tags, portraits and keepsakes and subscription boxes, and premium treats, human-grade treats, free dry treats, and single ingredient treats. Waste management, our self-cleaning litter boxes, auto dog poop scoopers, and flushable and odor-free litter. Home and decor, hidden litter, box furniture, climbing walls and cat trees, especially minimalistic stuff, and memory foam beds. And pet party kits, cupcakes, cakes, and costumes are all big hits. So, you know, what are we starting to see here is the humanization of pets. What is good for us is good for our pet. We like a kid's party, we have a pet party. We think human-grade food is good for us, human-grade food is for our pets. So the humanization of pets is a real thing. It's starting to come around. It's why and our industry struggles with a little bit of, is it a pet owner or a pet parent? So you're starting to see that term more used. I'm a pet parent. That's my fur baby. Things like that. So we start looking at the top trending products for especially houseware and gift stores. Again, we're looking at luxury fashion and pet products. So what's good for my fashion is good for my pet's fashion. Sustainable and eco-friendly. Sustainability is a big thing. It's a big thing in all things, but especially in pet. So you're looking at those kind of things. Personalized and custom, again, personalized collars, things like that. Pet-centric home decor and furniture. Again, that climbing, the cat climbing thing, especially minimalistic, small spaces. And then pet, again, pet celebration and pet party products.
Really good.
So let's look at our pet owner segments. First one, we have prudent pragmatists. This is, the pet's part of my family, but sometimes it can be a hassle. It's about 9% of pet owning population. It's the smallest one. It's basic food, minimal vet visits. For you guys, not your target market. We're not gonna spend a whole lot of time on it. We wanna mention it, but not gonna spend a whole lot of time on it. This is dog's a dog, cat's a cat. Dog's probably outside most of the time. Security seekers, about 10%, second smallest one. My pet is my protector. Again, this is not gonna be your target audience. This is going to be, you know, your trained German shepherds. Predominant owners are going to be first responders, ex-military, things like that. Large percentage of pet owners, smallest in ours, but still a large whole number. But again, probably not your core audience.
Yeah.
Comfort companions, here we start getting into it. So 18% of the pet owning population, they are my companion, my friend, my comforter. Think of cozy beds, blankets, plush toys. They have a strong connection, but they're not the party crowd. This is, I come home to my pet, I cuddle up. This is what I come home at the end of a hard day. Adventure seekers. My pet's my adventure buddy, 17%. We explore the world together. They go on long hikes, they travel together. So on a macro sense, pet-friendly travel comes into place here. Dog parks along interstates, long hikes. For products, backpacks, harnesses, travel accessories, portable bowls, portable water bottles, things like that. And the real focus is on shared experiences. I want to share this with my dog, as you can kind of see the guy there. Our next one is our ambitious go-getter. 14% of pet-owning population. My pet is my wingman. They must look good, so I look good. So think of designer pet accessories, treats, grooming, sweaters, things like that, that make the pet look good, make the person look good. The relationship, it's a very strong relationship. It's a little tied to Instagram. And those social media moments where you're taking a picture of your pet, you're taking a picture of you and your pet, and very much tied to external validation. The love is there, the bond is there, it's just a little social media heavy. Then we get into our well-being warriors. My pet keeps me healthy, their well-being is important as mine. My wife and I just moved to a little more of a rural area. We're always in the middle of suburbia. So I believe my wife taking my dog on, like, it's a mini golden doodle. I wouldn't really call it, you know, the adventure buddy. But my wife is becoming more the well-being warrior. She is, my pets keep me healthy. She's going on longer hikes. So I think she's switching owner segmentation, that their well-being is important as mine. So here you're going to see organic supplements, CBD, and focus on mutual well-being. In veterinary, it is more frequent wellness care visits. It is probably finding a sitter on next door or a dog walker on a Rover than it is going to a traditional boarding facility. And then we get into passionate parents. My pet is my baby. I'd happily give up anything to keep them happy. Though this older guy is in the picture, because it's an awesome picture. There's an older guy, millennial and Gen Z, are really skew heavily towards this as well. They'll do anything. Now, this is where the other personas were not party time. This is party time. This is celebrations. This is, you know, birthdays, Easter, Christmas. Everything's a reason to have a party with my pet. And again, this gets back to the humanization of pets, especially with millennial and Gen Z. So now let's take a look. There is a new emerging segment. As we said before, the emergence of cats being especially taken out of shelters at a greater rate than dogs. We are now seeing, but we don't have enough evidence to actually make it a segment or really talk about it too much, but the concept of cat bro is coming up. More men are starting to adopt cats. We don't have enough data to it. It's more anecdotal at this point, but you are starting to see more men adopt cats. Again, back to work mandates. I've got to be in the office 5 days a week. I can't get boarding. I can't board a dog, and I don't have a pet-friendly facility. Now, by the way, the number one and two reasons why people don't have pets, one is affordability, and the second is pet-friendly housing. We're trying to work on the second one. Affordability is kind of a macro thing, but those are the two reasons people, predominant reasons people don't have pets outside of underlying health conditions and things like that. So those segments don't fit every pet owner. Some are a little bit of one, a little bit of the other, things like that. So when looking at your stores, we did a lot of research leading up to this presentation to come up with some of the unique personas that shop at specialty housewares and gift stores. So let's take a look at the lives of Olivia, Dave, Maya, Victoria, Jake, Ellen, and Brittany. Let's take a look at Olivia and Baxter. Olivia is an urban trendsetter. She's 32 years old, lives here in Chicago. She rents a luxury high-rise condo. She rents out of desire, not out of affordability, because she wants to be able to move. She is single but still dating, and doesn't know when she finds the right person, then maybe she moves somewhere else. She's about 15% of your shoppers. She's a minimalist. She reads Vogue and Business Insider. She eats sushi and oat milk lattes. She watches Emily in Paris and Shark Tank. And Baxter is part of her brand. She's a digital marketing exec at a large ad agency. And so that ties into the brand. So what is Olivia looking for? When she goes into one of your stores, what does she want? She's looking for a pet-safe scented candle. And let me do it. She's looking for, and the pictures here are actually on the show floor. So these are in the pet pavilion. All of these that you see on these other slides are actually there. Gold-plated water bottle and a velvet pet pillow. It accentuates that is her brand. That is part of her identity. And the two blend together quite well. You know, why is this happening? Well, luxury, minimalist style fit her persona. And those are all on trend and booming within pet. How it competes with other stores, big box and online and e-com is you can't smell the candle on Amazon. You can't touch it. You can't tell the fabric that you can in a store from a pet bed. So those are some of the things. Now let's take a look at Dave and Max. This is the suburban entertainer. Dave lives in Austin. He's 45 years old, has two kids, ages 10 and 7, and owns a four-bedroom house, drives a Jeep. He's 17% of the shoppers, one of the largest ones. He is a traditional suburbanite. He's a project manager at a tech firm. Loves barbecue, sports, and outside activities. Reads Texas Monthly Men's Health. He eats barbecue, Texas barbecue, Tex-Mex, and craft beer. He watches ESPN and Yellowstone. Any guesses on what Dave's buying? Take a shot. It's making it a little interactive. I'm talking a lot.
Adventures, leave his pets, and the things get joy, including swag, the sports.
Yeah. Customized leather collar. So most likely it was either the Texans or the Dallas Cowboys. He's in Austin. UT Austin, big college. So custom leather collars, things like that, exactly right. I build bowls. And quality, high quality treats. So if we look here, what's on the show floor? Fun plush toys, a little bit different. And some of those are branded. So you might see college teams or NCAA, or they've got their riff on, you know, Pup Blue Ribbon for a beer. And then you've got, you know, higher quality dog chews. Why? Well, you know, Dave is looking for durability, quality, function, and style. So he's looking a little bit all of it. He's got two kids, so they're always on him about something for the kids, for the dog. They will not walk the dog because no kid does. I didn't. Ours didn't. And how does this compete? Some of the big box offerings or the online limited editions, seasonal products, coordinating pet and home products, things like that. So let's take a look at Maya and Luna. Maya is the eco-conscious. She is a sustainability consultant out of Portland, Oregon. She's 29 years old, engaged and has a small eco-friendly house. 12% of shoppers, not a tremendous amount, but she is focused on sustainability, zero waste, and eco-friendly. She reads National Geographic, Mind Body Green, eats vegan bowls, and herbal teas. She watches documentaries and Chef's Table. She's an adventure buddy, kind of the same lifestyle. So big adventure, big outdoors, minimalistic, and really would like to see biodegradable pet poop bags, plant-based calming spray, and upcycled leashes. So again, we've got a couple of things with all-natural dog biscuits and calming sprays and odor-free with all-natural ingredients. Why? And sustainability is part of her belief system. It's what she does professionally. It's what she believes in. So why wouldn't that extend to the life of her pets? How does it compete with like an Amazon online? Shipping isn't the most sustainable thing out there. You can buy it, I don't need a bag, I can walk away with it, I can touch it, I can feel it, I can look at the packaging, I can look at the ingredients, I know it's sustainable. And generally stopping at a store, shopping at a store that has those same beliefs with her. Now let's look at Victoria and Oliver. Victoria and Oliver. Victoria is a retired attorney and philanthropist. 57 years old, lives in the Villages, Florida. Has anybody seen the Villages, by the way? Amazing. I lived in Orlando for 46 years before we moved to just outside of Chattanooga. It's in five counties. It's absolutely massive. So good for Victoria. She owns a luxury home. She's divorced. She's about 14% of shoppers. She reads Town and Country in the Wall Street Journal. She eats lobster salad and loves brunch. She watches Bridgerton and The Crown, and she treats Oliver like royalty. But she's not a party cat. She's a royal cat. So what does Victoria get Oliver? Here, a little bit of smart feeder, a little bit of a tech comes in because it's odor-free and it takes out the odor. So, now, love the dog, love the cat, love the royalty, I like the smell. But also luxury cat beds, treat jars, and gourmet treats. Why? It's pampering. Now, pets, you know, are part of the handcrafted gourmet lifestyle that she enjoys. How does this compete with others? A lot of this comes down to Victoria's relationship-based. She wants to shop with somebody who knows her, that knows her family, that's high-end packaging, that is luxury. That's what she's really looking for when walking into one of your stores.
Big look like.
Now let's take a look at Jake and Dee's, the DIY pet parent. Jake's 38, lives in Denver, Colorado, owns a small rustic cabin-style home. He's single. Jake's also a firefighter, drives a Jeep, and really sees Jake as his best friend, his partner. What's best for Jake is best for Diesel. He reads Field and Stream, Popular Mechanics. He eats steak and black coffee. He watches Building Off the Grid and Forged in Fire. Guy's guy. So what is Jake getting for diesel? A wooden bird feeder kit. It's not really for diesel, it's for him. He likes to make things, likes to see birds. A durable rope toy and travel water bottle when they go on hikes and travel together. Why? It's durable in quality. Kind of like Dave, but a little bit different, but a little bit more rugged. What's he really looking for? What are you competing against? Made in the USA, quality, and DIY. That's what Jake likes. I want to take a look at Helen the Whiskers.
Coming back.
Helen the Whiskers, the nostalgia collector retired school teacher out of Charleston, South Carolina. She owns a store, a cottage, drives a vintage Buick. She's widowed and represents about 12% of your shoppers. She loves what the Old South provides as far as history, antiques, food, and culture. She reads Southern Living. She eats homemade pies and fresh vegetables. She watches Hallmark shows and Downton Abbey. Whiskers is family. Being widowed, this is one of the comfort companions we saw before. Now we're going to throw a party for the cat, but the cat is everything. Cat is comfort. Cat is mental health. Cat is well-being. So, what's Helen going to buy a member of her family? Custom nameplates. Decorative keepsake boxes. Memories of Whiskers. When Whiskers passes, she's going to want to remember part of her family, somebody who's that close to her. She's also going to want one of those really nice kind of window perch cushions, so Whiskers can sit outside and look at the birds and look at the outside world while she keeps him safe. Why? Sentimentality and pampering. It's a member of the family. She takes very good care. Regular vet visits. And really, Helen is looking for more experienced shopping designs. She's looking for that experience that she can't replicate anywhere else. She's looking for memories and moments. That's not only at home with Whiskers, but in stores, looking to see how she can make Whiskers' life a little better. Now we're going to end on Brittany and Coco. Brittany's a social butterfly. She's 25, single, lives in Miami, and rents a trendy loft, drives a convertible BMW, and is a social media manager. She's about 18% of shoppers. This is Gen Z. So this is what you're seeing coming up. If you're seeing these people, this type of persona coming into your stores, this is what you're seeing. She was cosmopolitan in social media. She eats hummus bowls, designer soda, and rosé all day. She watches TikTok and Love Island. And she's obsessed with trends. Shocker, TikTok. What is she into? Any guesses? We've talked about it early on. Of all the trending products we have left out so far, what have we left out?
Clothes,
yes, and? Pet parties. This is the party girl. This is throwing that little dog parties all the time. Fortunately, we have Lazy Dog up on the show floor. That now has party soda for dogs. That is right, soda for dogs. As well as a lot of different treats, a lot of different party packs. She's looking for pet parties. Pet Safe Paw Balm, she lives in Miami. You take that dog on a walk on the hot concrete, you need something so you don't burn the pet's paws. And clothes and costumes, especially sunglasses, oddly. Why? It's trend and influencer driven. It's Instagrammable. It's TikTokable. What does this compete about? Again, it's that Instagrammable experience. It's limited drops, and it's trending in person. Things like that. So those are the through our research and doing the National Pet Owner Survey for about 30 years and looking at pet segments. These are the types of people that are coming into your stores. And the types of products that they're looking for. So, how does specialty housewares and gift stores win in 2025? How do you create an in-store shopping experience that online retailers can't replicate? Nothing big there, but it's being intentional in the pet space. One of the things we're seeing that we didn't really tease out a lot in some of the personas is matching your dining room or your kitchen dishware to your dog's bowls. And there is a building there right on the end. They've got a large, I didn't see it, they've got a large presence on the show floor in kitchenware, but they've also got pet that is independent but also marries to the collection. So you're really starting to see that, and when you can see it in a store, and you can see somebody's display laid out at a dining room table, and then the pet accessories are not ignored but brought in tastefully. You're starting to see that that you honestly can't replicate online. Limited editions and exclusive pet products, those are always big. Handcrafted, made in America, sustainable. Those things are really winning right now. Price on profitability without competing on cost. They're coming to your store for an experience. Maximizing impulse buys and cross promotion. There's a number of exhibitors up in the pavilion that are great, point of purchase, last minute, and some great opportunities there. Capitalizing on pet celebrations with the right audience. It's going to be a Gen Z audience. That you're going to see in that, some millennial, really around event-driven sales. So, you know, your holiday times when you're starting to see that go through your stores, moving in a little bit of pet there will go a long way. And then leveraging social media and local community engagement. Those are some of the ways that that you can really win this year in our research of what we're seeing pet-owning consumers doing out there in the world. And then our final takeaways. You know, it's obviously tough to compete with mass retail or online with on price. You have to reposition against the endemic pet store, but you can win, and by offering experimental, curated shopping experiences that big box can't. Selling limited edition, high margin products that have an exclusive feel. We've got some research, some data showing that handcrafted, that bringing in a local artisan, would definitely be an advantage. Prioritizing aesthetic, eco-conscious, made in the USA and personalized pet items is another one. And then leveraging seasonal events, social engagements, and community building opportunities to drive traffic and repeat customers. And then cross promotion and impulse buying to improve overall sales.
Yeah.
And with that, we ran a little bit early. But open to questions.
Does anyone have any questions?
They're out, sorry. I'm curious about this.
Fantastic.
Cheese.
You built out a lot of nice ways to build a little business. How do you feel about the price versus quality aspect of this? What I mean by that is, you know, here's our football addiction, and we used to land and say every consumer becomes a mass market purchaser through the app. There's nobody, grandparents, you know, the grandparents and the aunts and uncles who are actually the ones who buy the fancy stuff.
The parents buy in the store. But with pets, it doesn't seem to be the same. But how do you break down the difference between the pet owner who is going to be the mass market person and the pet owner who you can target as upscale, and can at this point, because there's more of an emotional attachment, can you move that person who maybe years ago would have been buying on very practical terms into buying at a higher level, more specialty, more higher margin products?
Sure. So a lot to unpack there. Great question, Mike. So let's talk a little inside pet manufacturing baseball, pre-January 20th. Not political, but tariffs and de minimis rules kind of skew the conversation into the unknown. But if you were just looking for lowest price, you would go to Temu and Shein, get a knockoff product, you can get it on Walmart, you can get it on Amazon. It is the frustration of pet product manufacturers. Because their product is their mallard. You know, I've said my dog's got three mallards. Their mallard gets knocked off for $5, and it ships from overseas. That is your prudent pragmatist. You know, some of those they are people that love their pet. love it as part of the family. Probably stays more outdoors, minimal pet visits, basic food, it's dog chow, and it's vaccines at Walgreens, Dollar General, things like that. That is your, you know, consumer shopper that just wants basics. You are seeing a lot more, and I think that would also be a lot more of traditional boomer. The dog was more utilitarian, a part of the family, but not on the bed or not in the house. You're starting to see millennial and Gen Z really pick up that brand recognition, that quality, price sensitivity. They're looking for, again, that freeze-dried food. And freeze-dried food, if you haven't priced it, is not cheap. If you look back at a lot of the fueling of the growth, and you take out a bit of the COVID blip where everybody wanted a pet because they were all at home, you started seeing $100, $150 bags of dog food. It was extremely expensive. Some of that's come back down, but a flight to quality is becoming more the norm. You see that in millennial and Gen Z where, you know, I want the best ingredients. I want what I eat. Now, I will say that if you feed your dog white rice and a chicken breast, you're cutting the dog's life by about 5 years. Their nutrition is not our nutrition. But this is not a nutrition class, and I'm not a nutritionist. Heard it from a nutritionist, though. So you do see that flight to quality. That price sensitivity is not there. If it's a good quality product, if it's sustainable, if it's made in the U.S., they're going to buy that because it's a member of their family that they love very, very much, and why wouldn't I want to buy the best for a member of my family?
Because that's an interesting, to a larger demographic question about, you know, somebody had told me a few years ago, and it's very interesting, that millennials were the first generation that had more grandparents than siblings. And so kind of the family dynamics have changed. We have people having children later, and we'll see if that follows through with Gen Z. But it does seem as if instead of the animal entering the family as a pet, it enters the family now,
yeah,
the youngster, as a family member. And that to me is a different mindset that retailers should be aware of and should pick up on, because that's something that resounds with that person's sensibility.
Absolutely. Yeah, they're entering the home as a member of the family. You know, your quality of veterinary care, not going to get onto that topic because it doesn't apply. It's interesting, it doesn't apply. But the affordability of pets. And, you know, at a very base level, dogs can have dog chow. They can get vaccines at Dollar General. They can play with an old tennis ball. They can sleep on an old pillow for a bed and be very, very happy. But then you see the quality, the continuum of care go up, where the treats get better, the food gets better, the toys get better, the parties get better, the insurance gets better. And so you do see them coming in as part of the family. And as soon as I can do that, I will, in many cases, I will buy for my pet. And I won't be as extravagant for myself, but I make sure that my pet is not far behind me in my lifestyle.
Any other questions, please? Well, in that case, Pete, thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you all.
Very, very informative.